So just a disclaimer, before I start today, I'm going to be quoting some verses from the Quran. And I hope you know by now that I only hold that the holy scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments to be the verbally inspired word of God, that God's word has the final authority for faith, for life, and for practice. But the purpose in quoting verses from the Quran today will be, hopefully they will be tools that you will be able to use to show fellow Muslims that Jesus is indeed divine. So open with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Revelation. We've spent the first 2 weeks covering the first 8 verses of the book. We've looked at some of the great titles that have been given of our Lord Jesus, that he's the faithful witness, he's the firstborn from the dead, and he rules over the kings of the earth. In verse 5, it says, Jesus has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so this fact that our Lord and Savior came, that he was a real historical figure, that he lived and that he died, just this historical fact alone, that Jesus lived and died, is held by the vast majority of the world. Both Christian and non-Christians bear witness that Jesus of Nazareth, he came, he lived, and he died. And this is supported in history by that of Christian, Jewish, and Roman sources. But however, there is one major world religion that denies that Jesus died. And so this denial of Jesus' death and resurrection, it is a fatal error, because the fact that Jesus died and that he rose again is what saves us. If there's no death, if there's no cleansing from our sins, if you take away Jesus' death, you take away grace, and you have what's called a works-based religious system. And when things are works-based, you will never know if you've been good enough. You will have to continually do the things that the people in charge say that you have to do. And so the religious system that doesn't believe in the death of Jesus, if you don't know, it is the Muslim religion of Islam. Now let me just educate you for a moment. A Muslim is one who submits to God's will that is taught in Islam. Muslims call God Allah. He's all-powerful. He is monotheistic, meaning that he is one. He is the ultimate source of creation. He's the absolute authority over everything. He is almighty and he is all-powerful. They believe that one needs to have faith, one needs to pray, one needs to give alms to the poor, one needs to fast, they need to take pilgrimages to holy cities like Mecca, and that God has spoken through prophets, many of which are identical to that of the Bible. So they would hold Adam as a prophet. They would hold Noah as a prophet. They'd hold Abraham and Moses and Jesus and their last prophet of Muhammad. They have a key declaration of their faith that is called the Shahada, which is there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Now, Muslims, they do have a great respect. They have a great reverence for regard for Jesus. They consider him to be one of Almighty God's greatest messengers to the world. And the Quran speaks of Jesus' miraculous virgin birth, his ability to do miracles, that Jesus even ascended into heaven, and that Jesus is coming again. And when a Muslim even says Jesus' name, they say, "Peace be upon him." Every time they mention his name, they do this in order to show immense respect for him. But mainstream Muslims do not believe that Jesus was crucified. In the Quran, in Surah chapter 4, verse 157, speaking of the Jews, it says, "They said, 'We killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah,' but they did not kill him. nor crucified him, but it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For surety they did not kill him. And then verse 158 says, nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power. Why? So, meaning they believe that Jesus did ascend into heaven, but that he was not crucified. It only appeared that Jesus was crucified. Maybe he slipped the cross to Simon of Cyrene. Maybe it was Judas that was crucified, or Jesus just fainted on the cross and then later recovered, kind of called the swoon theory. But today we're going to see that the Bible contradicts the Quran in the fact that Jesus did die and he did rise again. So let's read Revelation 1, picking up at verse 9. And surprisingly, we're going to read the whole chapter, the rest of the chapter today. Revelation 1, picking up at verse 9, it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice has the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. We see the disciple John mentioned again in verse 9. He calls himself our brother and our companion in three areas. And as a preacher, you just love to see a set of three, because it's easier to explain. Verse 9 says that John is our brother and our companion in tribulation, in kingdom, in patience of Jesus Christ. So let's first look at what John means by being our brother, because we also see that Jesus is called our brother. Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 12 says, for it was fitting for him, speaking of Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. In Matthew 12:50, Jesus said, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. When we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we get grafted into the family of God. John proclaims that he is our brother in the faith. He's our brother and he's our companion in the tribulation. Now, being our brother in the tribulation, I don't think that John here is giving some kind of proof text against the rapture, but more along the lines that when you go through tough times, Jesus has overcome. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have trials and hardships and tribulation. Jesus tells us that we will. In John 16:33, he says, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The Apostle John, he went through trials and tribulations. He lived during a terrible time of persecution under Emperor Nero. We see in verse 9 here that he was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He wasn't there on vacation. John was sentenced there because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, historians say that the Apostle John, he was banished here by the Roman Emperor Domitian, who reigned from 81 to 96 AD. And this is after John was supposedly plunged into boiling oil in Rome and miraculously survived. In 96 AD, we see that Domitian is assassinated. And it's said that John was released and that he returned to Ephesus, at which he cared for Jesus' mother Mary until her death. Here we see that John is our brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom. Well, what kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God, the eternal spiritual realm that is ruled by King Jesus. We are part of this kingdom when we believe and when we trust in Christ. We're transferred from the kingdom of darkness and we're placed into God's kingdom of his dearly beloved Son. We get conveyed, or as the King James says, we get translated into the kingdom of God. We can be there when we believe that Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God, and we believe in Jesus' testimony. We must believe that the Bible is true and that Jesus is the faithful witness. Because others, they're going to say, well, you can't believe the Bible. You know, it's been changed and corrupted over the years. You know, church leaders, they've added or taken out stuff. It's not credible. It's not trustworthy. Listen to me carefully. We have the Bible. It is God's spoken word. The accuracy, the veracity, its truthfulness has been so preserved for us. When we have things like the Dead Sea Scrolls and manuscript upon manuscript, they testify to its truth. You can trust its reliability and the Bible's consistency. The scriptures are the holy, verbally inspired words of God. The Bible is the final authority. We don't need the Quran. We don't need another testament of Jesus Christ. You don't need the Book of Mormon. You don't need any false witnesses. We have Jesus. We have the Word of God, the Logos, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He's the ruler over all the kings of the earth. You can believe the Bible. It is true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John says he's our brother and companion in tribulation, in kingdom, and in patience. Hypomone in the Greek. Patient endurance is a great translation. Awaiting to remain under something, to endure during difficult moments, maybe even dealing with difficult people, even when provoked. John says, hey, I've got you. I've been there. We're brothers in hard times. But don't focus on the hard times. Focus on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Turn your eyes towards him. Verse 10 says I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, when is the Lord's day? Well, every day is God's, sure, but the Lord's day is known as Sunday, the first day of the week, the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We see in Acts 20, verse 7, in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, the first day of the week is when believers in Jesus as Messiah, they gather to celebrate his victory over sin and death. And it says that John was in the Spirit. Well, what does this mean? Does this mean that John was speaking in tongues? Probably not. But there are times when we can be filled with the Spirit by being controlled, by being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You can be prayed up. You can feel this deep connection with God. You can feel this empowering of the Holy Spirit. You know when you've been in the presence of the Lord. You know that God is in control. Now, there are going to be hills and valleys in everyone's spiritual life. But this is a mountaintop experience for John. It's like the feeling when you come back from summer camp or a missions trip, you feel on fire for the Lord. But as a true believer in Jesus Christ, you can never lose the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. Now, the Word says that we can quench the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, but He's still there. Even during times of sin and deep times of rejection, we can feel lonely. We can feel out of presence. We can feel not connected with God. But you can't lose the Holy Spirit. But you can be filled by yielding to His will. You can yield to Him in submission and obedience, by being empowered and controlled by the Holy Spirit, by cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience. Give it to me now. I mean, that's not really patience, but, you know, kindness and goodness and self-control and gentleness. John, he's in the Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He's having church on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And he hears a loud voice behind him as like that of a trumpet. And the voice says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. And whether this is a repeat of verse 8, it contains the same phrase that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. These are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. Verse 11, we also see a command to write what you see and to send it to the seven churches. Now, many of you know that I preach from the New King James Version. In verse 11, it has this phrase here. It's also in the King James. I am the Alpha and the Omega. You might have a footnote in your Bible. It might say some older manuscripts omit the phrase here. So if you have an NIV, ESV, RSV, the words are they're not there. But the words are the same as in verse 8. And here in verse 11, it expands the command to write the things that he sees. These words will be repeated later in Revelation 22, 13, which all of those other versions have. If you don't have it in verse 11, you're just missing out. But if you jump with me to verse 17, it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Remember that for just a moment. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Last week, I told you that Isaiah 43, Isaiah 44, Isaiah 48, these are great chapters that describe the Lord Jesus. You can also add Isaiah 45. But Isaiah 44, 6, let me quote it for you. It says, thus says the Lord, the all capital Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who's speaking in Isaiah 44:6? The Lord, the all caps covenant keeping God, Jehovah, Yahweh, who is the Alpha and the Omega of Revelation 1:8, Revelation 1:11, Revelation 1:17, Revelation 22:13. It is King Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Almighty. Let me tell you, one of the favorite arguments that a Muslim or a skeptic might use, they might say something like this. They might say, show me where Jesus says, I am God, worship me. So though Jesus never said that exact phrase of I am God, worship me, Jesus does claim divinity status and he does accept worship. You've probably quoted a verse that shows Jesus accepting worship as God, and you probably didn't even know it. The verse is, out of the mouth of babies and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. This is quoted by Jesus in Matthew 21:16, and it's from Psalm 8:2. The context is Jesus, he's just flipped the tables of the money changers towards the end of his ministry. Just before his crucifixion, children are shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David! The chief priests, they can't get people to stop saying, save us! Hosanna to the Son of David! Jesus, he's accepting this praise that belongs to the Almighty God only. Because the context of Psalm 8, in verse 1, Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Jesus, he applies Psalm 8 to himself. In the Quran, in Surah 57, 2 and 3, it says of God, it is he who gives life and death. He has the power over all things. He is the first and the last, the evident and the imminent. He has full knowledge of all things. Who is the first and the last? It's Jesus. The first and last are divine titles from Isaiah 41:4, Isaiah 44:6, Isaiah 48:12, even from Surah 57. Jesus is equal with God. He is eternal, self-existent. Jesus is before all. He is above all. All things exist because of Jesus. All things have been made for him. Do you know what the Quran says about the Bible? It says, the word of your Lord finds its fulfillment in truth and justice. None can change his word, for he is the one who hears and knows all. Surah 5:47 says, let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. Back to Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus being alive forevermore, Jesus says, he died, and now I'm alive forever. I won't ever die again. I'm alive forever. Jesus is the incarnate living God. Our God is not dead. He's alive and he will be forevermore. Our God is the source of all life. He's the living one from all eternity. The incarnation was just a manifestation of his preexistence of eternity past. Some of the biggest concerns with Islam is the textual evidence of the Quran that it's faulty. The biggest error is that it denies that Jesus died. Because if Jesus was just a prophet, he would have been a false prophet. He would have been a false one because he claimed in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke that he would suffer, that he'd be killed by crucifixion, and that he would rise on the third day. The book of John also predicts his death. Revelation backs up the fact that Jesus did die. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Either the Bible's true or the Quran is true. Both can't be true. Either Jesus came, he lived, and he died for our sins, or Jesus came and he was just a good guy. He was just a prophet. He told us to be nice to people, and that's about it. The Apostle Paul tells us that if Christ has not been raised, that our preaching is worthless. We're to be the most pitied. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then Christianity is a sham. Our faith is futile. Either our faith actually has substance or it's worthless. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, it matters. His death is what satisfies God's wrath. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, there was no payment for sin. There's no justification. There's no sanctification. There's no Acts 16:31 of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Jesus is the first and the last. He was in the beginning with God because he is God. He's also the last. He's eternal. He's the beginning of all things, and he's the end of all things. Jesus has the final say. He's the ultimate creator. He's the final judge. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the sovereign Lord. In verse 12, John, he turns to see the voice that's speaking like a trumpet. He turns, and John sees seven lampstands. In the middle of these seven lampstands is one like the Son of Man, just like in the reference to Daniel. This is a vision that John, he starts to see. He sees seven golden lampstands. Again, seven meaning perfection. In the middle of this is a male with a garment, with a robe. It says it goes down to his feet. In verse 14, we see this description of Jesus. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. We have a purpose for snow. I may not like snow. You may not like snow, but snow has a purpose. Snow helps regulate the temperature of the earth's surface. When it melts, it helps refill rivers and reservoirs. It also gives us a picture of how our sins can be washed away. And we see that our Lord has white hair. Is this symbolic or literal? Here we see a description. His hair is like wool. It's white as snow. Verse 15, his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice has the sound of many waters. Verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. In verse 19, we see a layout for the rest of the book. He says, write these things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things that will take place after this. The things John sees are from verses 9 through 20 in chapter 1. The things that will be to the seven churches in chapter 2 through chapter 3, verse 22. The things that will take place after this will be chapter 4 to the end of the book. Verse 20, we get an explanation from Jesus. He says, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. We will look up these at the upcoming weeks. But as we close, I've been asking every week, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Verse 17, I think, is so important. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Jesus tells us not to fear. He says, I am the first, I am the last. There's no need to fear when you know Jesus. When you know Him as your Savior, you don't have to fear. Verse 18 says He has the keys of death and Hades. There will come a day, my friend, when we will look upon the face of Jesus. We will hear His voice. It will either say, "Enter into the joy of the Lord," or "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He is the first and the last. Jesus is the one who lives. Though crucified for the sins that we had committed, He offers the opportunity of eternal life. He holds the keys to death and to hell. And the word is clear. We who believe by faith that Jesus is God, that He came, He died for our sins, by His wounds we are healed, we receive the free gift of salvation. We do this by confessing Him as Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that God raised Him up on the third day according to the Scriptures. He's given to us the name of Jesus above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of the Father. He's the one who is. He's the one who was, and He is the one who is to come. Amen. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Jesus is the one who died for us, that we could be set free. Thank You that Jesus reigns for all eternity. He deserves blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever. He is able to save and to deliver. Help us to put our hope and our faith and our trust in Him. Help us to know Your word, to hear it, to read it, and to keep it. Lord, give us boldness to know that Your word is true, that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, and that He is coming again. Thank You for grace and for mercy. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.